Now may I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you please be seated? It's lovely to be with you here this morning in Turville, our most far-flung north-westerly parish in the valley. It's a bit dull outside, isn't it? And everything on two wheels and four legs seems to be out this morning. I expect you encountered a few of them on the way. Well, I want to begin with a story from the Middle Ages. There was a woman in Bristol who heard this gospel story of Mary's devotion to Jesus, and she thought it might be a way to win favour with her local lord of the manor. However, she had misheard what Mary used to anoint Jesus' feet. And so she decided to go to an audience at the manor armed with a pound of lard. However, when she looked in her larder, she found to her horror that she didn't have any lard. So instead she took a pound of beef dripping, like this, or even dripping, if you can pronounce a P. Have you ever had dripping? Not great stuff, is it? To anoint the feet of a rather bemused and unamused lord of the manor. Not surprisingly, the poor woman failed to win any favour with the lord of the manor. However, his hunting hounds did stay close to his heels for weeks. Now, I tell you that story of fantastical providence to focus our attention on how very odd it was for Mary to anoint Jesus' feet using a perfume made with nard. As the book of Wikipedia will tell you, nard was extremely expensive, coming all the way from Egypt in alabaster jars. It was used in the making of incense that was burned during worship in the temple. So using it to anoint the feet of Jesus was effectively acknowledging that he was the Lord. And there again is a word that we hear so often that we hardly hear it at all. Lord. Our reading from Isaiah opens with a reminder that the Lord controlled all the mighty waters and overcame the terrible army of the Egyptian oppressors of the Hebrews. And now the Lord was promising a new thing, being honoured by the creatures of the African plain, bringing water to the desert, and refreshing the nation he had rescued from their slavery down in Egypt under Pharaoh. Now perhaps Mary had some of these things in her mind as she practiced her act of devotion. From what we know of her sister, Martha would have been mortified to see such costly and impractical behaviour. We might also think it should have been Lazarus who was down on his knees in devotion. After all, he had been raised from the dead. Well, none of this fits comfortably into our culture. We wear socks. We don't go around anointing feet. And if we did, we wouldn't pour out a whole bottle of Chanel No. 5. Other perfumes are also available, when a couple of drops would give a more subtle effect. And yet, 5 weeks into the abstemious season of Lent, we are invited to look at an extraordinary and highly extravagant action, which begs to know what we would have done if the Lord had come to dinner at our house. And yet, today, in this ancient church, we have come to dinner at the Lord's house. And perhaps the more relevant question is, what would he have us do in response to his mercy and love? Ironically, a part of the answer is that our common sense and business sense and our social and financial sensibilities could all lead us far away from the proper response to Jesus. He does, of course, call us to feed and clothe the poor and to use our resources wisely. But he also calls us to give things away so that we are in charge of them and not vice versa. In all this, he calls us to sit at his feet and to pour our wealth and talents into worship. Each of our churches, and none more than here, deserves our time and devotion, because through them and in them we learn the faith, and we meet with God, and we go out as believers into the world. And all of this is good for us. It saves us from subservience to the world, the flesh, and the devil. I love that phrase that we hear during Lent. Still, like Mary, and unlike Judas Iscariot, we would never do these things for our own benefit. And much of it is hard work and costly. But we love to know that we are part of something bigger. We know that we have much to do, and the spirit of the times is often against the church. But Jesus, our Lord, is as popular as ever, with his brave and beautiful mission of acceptance and his unmistakable place as the Son of God. So as Lent proceeds towards Holy Week and Holy Week into Easter, let's be wiser and more humble than to put all our faith and hope into strategies for growth that grab the headlines and mission plans that simply tick the box. Let's pour out our hearts at Jesus' feet and see who comes, inspired by God, to join us as followers of his Son.